meeting is Jefferson County Commissioners Court, at 1:34 PM on Tuesday, September 5th, 2017. This is a special meeting for the purpose of transacting the business of the county. We'll begin our meeting with invocation by Commissioner Senegal and pledge allegiance by Commissioner Alford.
Judge, pass what you say for our first.
Okay. That I was about here. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon each and every one of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over us while we slumbered and slept on last night. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for waking us up to see this day, a day that we haven't seen and a day that we'll never see again. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us during this turbulent time, Heavenly Father. We ask that you just bless all those who suffered loss of property and lives, lifestyle. Heavenly Father, we ask that you just continue to bless and keep this Commissioner's Court. We ask that you bless this county, all its leaders, all its citizens. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless and keep each and every one of us. These and many blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Say the pledge in unison. Thank you, Mr. Strong. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Judge.
There's our birthday, though. Got somebody from the DA.
Yeah, he's all could sit in with us.
Begin our agenda with items under County Auditor. Item A, consider approved budget transfer for Royal Road and Bridge Precinct 4, the purchase of a truck conveyor. Item B, consider approved budget transfer for Constable Precinct 6 for additional cost for extra help. Item C is regular county bills, check number 437455, and check number 437572. Glad to vote on those items under Auditor.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Weaver, I think it was seconded by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. We have two addendums, three items.
May I make a bring this to you to correct the item and you were going to work it?
Okay. Item A on the addendum is to consider an award of HGAC by debris clearance and removal services contract for Jefferson County in accordance with the HGAC invitation number HB08-17 to Tetra Tech. And item B is consider and approve a renewal for FEMA grant management and insurance advisory services for Jefferson County with Adjusters International for a first additional 1 year renewal from September 6, 2017 to September 5th, 2018. Item C is to consider and approve specifications for a request for proposal for emergency debris monitoring services for Jefferson County. Do I have a motion on those items under purchase?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And that completes our abbreviated agenda for today. Is there anything item that any member of the Commissioner's Court wishes to bring to the attention of the public without taking action?
Judge, do you think at this time you want to give some updated information to the public and reference to the courthouse operation and employees?
Yeah, as soon as the Commissioner's Court is open, I'll be having some additional discussions with a couple of JPs in the Mid-County area and the tax assessor in relation to the Mid-County area, since they have water and power that are apparently running down there. I haven't gotten any reports of damage. So right now the courthouse was open today only for the limited purpose of having Commissioner's Court. Tomorrow we'll have a limited opening because we do not have any bathroom and very limited water resources. Don't have bathrooms available for the public or for that matter for employees. So we will be open at the Jefferson County Courthouse only, the district clerk's office, county clerk's office, and tax assessor collector from 8 a.m. till noon on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. The there are people who may need to take care of some auto registration title issues in the tax assessor's office. There may be some people that will need to access the clerk's offices for marriage licenses, probate records, deed records, and the like, vital statistics records. So all of those elected officials, county clerk, the district clerk, and the tax assessor have been given complete discretion to determine who comes in based upon the unique circumstances of their office and based upon the employees who have suffered damage. Because we have a lot of employees that work for Jefferson County, all of these commissioners and their precincts and everything have people that are in their employ that suffered a lot of damage, and so they need to have the ability to make determinations about how their scheduling and operations are going to be done. We hope that as the Beaumont Public Water System comes back into operation, they've had some power issues, some issues with debris getting into the pipes that serve their pumps for their temporary fix. They won't be able to get in and address the issue of complete restoration of the Neches River pump system until the water's gone down more significantly. However, I understand that they're pre-positioning repair and replacement parts in advance of their ability to assess it, and a complete reopening of the courthouse is going to be somewhat dependent upon employees being able to travel to the courthouse and there being adequate facilities here to service the public and our employees.
So, Judge, you said courthouse, are we going to stick to that schedule also?
Well, I was waiting for a report from you about how it's...
We're in good shape. Some of the employees' homes were destroyed.
Yeah. I think that to the extent that the sub-courthouse can be operational, at least on a part-time basis, if it's not impacted by water and power issues, then we'd like it to be.
8 to 12, or 4 times.
Well, that's going to be dependent on each office's availability of employees. So I think if you'll have that discussion with the elected officials and department heads down at the courthouse, I'd appreciate that.
Also, when I passed this morning, they had the DPS office, they had a line of people. And I called Lieutenant Havoc, and he said that they're going to be closed today, possibly tomorrow. I think we need to give them an update on DPS. We can get an update from DPS.
I think Greg Fountain pushed out some Facebook and media releases on the DPS. There are some National Guard assets that are going to be arriving because the DPS assets are stretched, and so some of those National Guard people will be riding in the vehicles with DPS officers to try to relieve them, allow them some opportunity to rest.
Right, and I mean just office operations, people get their licenses and stuff. Get some information out to the public on that.
Yes, sir.
Judge, I'd like to request if you could to reach out to TxDOT and see if they can send a team into our county to start inspecting bridges. I have several in my precinct that other commissioners do as well. We're going to need some assistance with that. They do the inspections on a normal basis, so we just need to try to expedite that request as these roads begin open. Make sure we got it.
I'll get that out immediately after court. Fortunately for us, we were able after Hurricane Ike through the disaster recovery infrastructure money to replace a whole bunch of our bridges out in the unincorporated area with newer bridges that were engineered to the up-to-date standards. So I'm hopeful that we won't have problems. I know there's some Greg Fountain showed me those pictures the other day. We need to get on that quickly. I am told that the first FEMA personnel came in today. I understand that at some point tomorrow, the Secretary of FEMA will be coming in. We should start seeing a lot more assets. Our hope is that there'll be assets that can actually assess and do the post-disaster assessments and estimates based on the existing conditions after Hurricane Ike. We had some nuclear engineers come in from Phoenix, Arizona that didn't understand our hydrology, our soils, our and getting some of the roads replaced and approved for replacement because they've been over top of water and had been damaged significantly was a real effort back then. I'm hopeful that it's going to be different this time around. And with that picture, I don't think you'll have any problem with that.
But not only that, Judge, I think it is becoming definite, and I know we all, the commissioners, I hope, we do need to ride our roads and double check because it's our liability. So we do need to ride as soon as we can. I know some of the areas are still underwater, so that's going to be some things that we need to prevent our citizens when they come back and get in a hurry and things, if you understand.
I know y'all are doing this, but the commissioners are all videotaping their roads so that we won't have to just describe it to FEMA officials. We'll be able to show it to them.
Right. Real quick, Judge, and I just want to say this because it's on my heart, is that I want to change the name to Sheriff Stevens and all the deputies and everybody that went out there Tuesday night. Y'all saved a lot of lives. A lot of lives. I have no doubt about it. I talked to you at 1 o'clock that night, and you made me some promises, and you kept them. Love you. Thank you.
Just one quick question.
Yes.
Last year, or maybe not last year, the Hurricane Ike, our road bridge crews were deployed to go out and make house-to-house visits and inquire about the specifics of the damage in the homes, whether they had water, to what degree. Do you know that is yet to be determined if we will be doing that again on their behalf? And I think it was for FEMA, but it could have been for our investigative group.
It's hard.
It was a form that right. We had to get in. You know.
Chances are they're going to be asked to do that again because FEMA uses that.
There's got to be an easier way. I mean, these guys are already swamped with work. I don't see how they.
We'll see what we can do to.
Do a full.
I haven't talked to anybody in a while.
We don't want to. We do not want to miss anyone that has damages. We want to try our best to get every citizen that has damages, because that will benefit us as a whole when we start coming together with the total amount.
And I know that some of the members of the Commissioner's Court and other elected officials are getting requests from people who have great big huge hearts want to come in and help. Please, if you get those kind of requests and they want to come in, make sure that they're self-sufficient. In the aftermath of a disaster, we do not have the assets to take care of people. We've already got a bunch of housing destroyed. We're trying to move people from Chris Ackberry alone told me yesterday that he had 1,000 apartments that were damaged where he's had to cancel the leases and move people out. And so we have no housing ability. We are looking at a program that was used in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy and after the Baton Rouge flood in 2016. It was a program that was designed, funded by FEMA through the Texas Division of Emergency Management in this case to get into people's houses very quickly, tear out the sheetrock, tear out the wet flooring, restore power, restore HVAC systems, restore water, and allow the people to move back in while we're waiting for the community development block grant money to get here that can assist them with putting the sheetrock back up, putting the insulation in, putting new flooring in, and that kind of stuff. Also got some news yesterday that we're working very hard on in former disasters. We had to spend 50% of the money in low to moderate income areas. We should have no problem doing that. And I have been assured over the last several days that was requested by the Coast Guard to give narrated tours of the area and to a number of members of Congress and the Senate at the federal level. And all of those congressmen from as far away as California and Maryland told me that they were gonna get right back and get to work with doing a disaster plan that would take care of the needs that exist, and they thought that it would be done in a bipartisan effort with absolutely a complete unanimity of vote. So I'm hopeful that we will move faster. In the aftermath of Hurricane Ike, it was 2.5 years before we had any disaster housing assistance money ever spent because of a lack of eligibility requirements being out there, some lawsuits by some housing advocate groups from Austin. Each of the members of Congress have been made aware of those issues. We don't have 2.5 years to wait for people to get back in their homes. We have to do it now. We have to have help on the ground doing what needs to be done to reestablish these neighborhoods, get people back in their homes, back to work, and the county functioning in as normal a manner as we possibly can, given the devastation that we've had.
Judge, if I may.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If I may, I know it's a little bit out of order, but we're in the middle of election, as you know, for the Constitution Amendment. We still have a lot of programs to do, and of course, the tropical storm has impacted a lot of our voting locations, which we're probably gonna have to downsize. So I do need my election staff to be able to work so that we can assess what all we have to do and continue our program to meet deadlines that we must meet as well. So.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You go right ahead.
Thank you.
That's what I said. You've got discretion. You do what you need to do.
Thank you.
Judge, just on a side note with the debris pickup, talking about going door to door, we handed out a bunch of those diagrams to some folks. And especially out in the rural areas, what you'll find is a lot of these ditch lines run right up next to the road, and there's not much room to put the debris. I'm hopeful that DRC will work with us in being flexible and using common sense when picking up this debris and realize that some of these homeowners cannot bring that debris right up in that ditch line. And so I know there were some guidelines set forth about, you know, not being on the driveway and those kinds of things, but common sense must prevail.
Well, Karen, if y'all would push that information over to DRC, because I actually put out a press release asking that people not put debris, especially if we were anticipating some rain tomorrow, potentially not to put debris in any culverts or drainage ditches, and so that's going to impact a large part of the county that have open ditches in front of their homes, and we can't have them putting it in there and creating further road and bridge problems.
But one thing with that, to Patrick, and I'm glad Commissioner Weaver brought that up, we need to try to make sure we get those exemptions up front, because we need those. The people impacted tremendously. I rode around. We have people going forward and going back, but it's so much debris, it's impossible to put where they want to put it. Well, we have to have them put it beyond this.
And a piece of good news this morning, the Commissioner's Court received a word that FEMA had approved an exemption from the normal rules relating to mosquito spraying, and we'll be reimbursed 100%. About 5 or 6 days ago, I requested the deployment of the C-130 to our area for the purpose of spraying for hurricane. The reason for that is that mosquitoes is because those planes have night vision and they can spray at night. They can get a lot, they can be a lot more effective than only dusk and dawn spraying. And our mosquito control district, been communicating with Commissioner Weaver, having them take landing rate counts so that the State Department of State Health Services, Dr. Qualls, their entomologist up there, can determine when our peak hatches following the storm are going to be. And they are doing those daily, and we're forwarding them up there. And so we're anticipating that some of you might have C-130s flying at low altitudes over your home. Don't be concerned. It's not the Martian.
So one more time, going back to debris removal, I'd like to know how many trucks, I don't know if that was the discussed how many trucks we're gonna have in our county, is there a way of knowing that?
Not yet.
Okay, and then secondly, just to clarify, when I talked about the ditch line going to the road, what I mean by that is you have residents that have put their debris somewhat in an organized manner in their driveway. And, you know, I know they're trying to get away from picking up, but there is no right of way in front of their home. It's all ditch and then edge of road. So let's just tell them to use common sense and not pass up that debris. It's very important we get it picked up immediately.
Right, but texting them on that right of way issue, because that's what they need to get. If we can get that way, they can, as you remember, they can go in deeper with the gravel. And we'll find out the trucks. And I think, you know, we've got the hotline out there. I haven't called yet, so I don't know what the answer is.
Well, the other part. The other part of it is that, you know, each of the cities is activating a debris removal contract also. So it's more likely that there's gonna be the debris management facilities or dumps or whatever, probably gonna be in the unincorporated area. But you're not only gonna have the trucks for the county debris removal contract, you're gonna have all the trucks from the city debris removal contract going over your road.
Right, and for the record, we discussed this at a meeting. It cost the taxpayers $1.2 million removed. So Patrick, whatever it takes, when these cities enter into the agreement with judge, when they enter into agreement with homeowners, property owners for debris removal, we need to be notified as commissioners where the cities are dumping, because it costs the taxpayers one. Thanks to a former state rep, Alan Riddle, he found that $1.2 million removed. It was poisoning the people's wells at that time. So yeah. Please emphasize to these mayors or whoever the people are that we need to know if they're gonna dump them. I already told my road bridge superintendent, they see a dump pile, let me know immediately so we can monitor that pile.
Isn't there some kind of monitor that goes behind the, how do they designate where an area is?
Well, what they'll do, they're gonna station as close as they can to some of the hardest hit areas and try to get property for temporary debris removal site. So what they go in is they'll go in and grab the debris from the site, go take it to the temporary facility. They do additional sorting there, and then from there, they'll ultimately, after the storm, it'll end up in the landfill that where it needs to go. But those temporary sites, they're gonna look in areas where it's the least amount of truck time driving, you know, pick up and drop off. So they're gonna try to get us, I think it was three debris removal sites just for us.
I know what you're saying, but.
Right.
Hampton is not close to Port Arthur.
Part of our situation, well, it was a little different on that.
Like it is, man.
Yeah, part of that was a little different. It was, it was a person that was picking up debris and dropping off.
All right.
Yeah. But that one got taken care of. But back to that, there is a debris monitor that has to be, that's part of the Tetra Tech. It follows behind and monitors. That's what allows you the 90-10 reimbursement, which is an incredible program. That's great. As I understand it, probably there should be three different companies in the area. Ours, DRC, has the mid-county areas. So it's the city of Beaumont and probably the city of Port Arthur that might have different debris pickup going. And of course, we're going to get online to DRC for anybody, because we're already getting phone calls from people that have equipment that want to be able to go help pick up the debris and be part of that contract. So that's all things we're going to flow up. So if you have those vendors, or if you have calls from people that want to, you know, as you remember, there are nine, you know, if you had a trailer, you could get, put stuff in the trailer and sides, and, you know, you could.
And we have those. We have those numbers for the contractors to call DRC. If you have those people down in EOC, we can give you a flyer on it. And we'll get that information out, too, for those people who want to subcontract with DRC.
Because they have to certify those trucks.
Right.
Point of clarification, as I understand right now today, that it's being worked on, is that the smaller communities who didn't did not have an existing debris management contract, are not going to be allowed to piggyback on our Jefferson County contract. And what does that mean in essence? Can they negotiate directly with DRC for their own? Just won't be subject to our pricing? Or what do y'all know about that situation?
Well, it's one of those that the rules have come down. It's all about reimbursement. We have bid out, Jefferson County person has bid out the contract for debris removal. So we have stated prices. When they talk about piggybacking the smaller cities, FEMA does not like that. You know, they want that entity to have bid it out. I know Judge had had a discussion with one of the representatives. He explained that maybe those rules could be not enforced as hard.
Because or get a waiver.
Or waiver. But what it is, if they piggyback on our contract, they're going to go apply. I'm just going to take the city of Belle Oak, they're going to go apply for federal funding as their own entity. Well, they're going to have to pay that debris cost, and if they piggyback with us, we'll get the rates that we have for debris pickup and debris monitoring. But when it comes time for reimbursement, they can suddenly subject to not being denied FEMA funding for that.
Right, right.
It wouldn't be for the county. The county, we've done the contract.
Right. But if they have a procurement contract, they have to go through the procurement process, and it's probably not going to run over 50,000. You know, so they got to go through that process. We could be talking about weeks before they even get a contractor, lined up to do that. So,
well,
it's a problem in Orange County, where you have a bunch of little units of local government that don't have the wherewithal or sophistication necessary to comply with the Purchasing Act.
I've got three in my precinct alone.
So Taylor's Landing would call them.
Yeah.
Right. They can be subject to not being reimbursed, and that's just something we need to continue to work through. We're actually on the agenda. We're actually putting out the debris monitoring just to be on the super safe side of us. You know, we're going to put out something real quick.
Because previously we had to work through HGAC. Now we're understanding FEMA doesn't even like HGAC. So in order to protect ourselves, we're doing our own emergency monitoring.
But we know of other entities that have been affected by this flood who are larger than us who are using HGAC. So we know that the
local. Point of clarification right now, and we're fixing to hand deliver a lot of these flyers out to my precinct door to door, making sure they understand the DRC concept for the rule. But I cannot give those to the city of Belle Oak or China or Nome at this time because they don't have a contract for them. Is that correct?
Well, I think they were starting to do piggyback contracts.
Well, they were. Belle Oak has one signed, and the other two were working on it. But
Commissioner,
what do you tell me?
From my perspective, those constituents you serve, and we know that there's a system in place active to make sure that they're aware and knowledgeable. I wouldn't stop giving them the information. I wouldn't put the DRC on it. I would give them generic saying, this is what you
separate the debris.
Yeah, it's a site for all. You got to do that in what?
Regardless of the contract.
Exactly. I think you need to do that. And we're going to work through this as the county.
But I know the state of the federal government is not going to let stuff just sit in those neighborhoods like that because all it does is create health issues.
They need to get the information. You can actually pull that flyer off of the FEMA website. It doesn't have to have DRC on it on how to sort this stuff. But working through it, I think for them, right now they really have no infrastructure. Some of most of their infrastructure has been destroyed. If they can pull a meeting together, maybe to work with Deb at the bottom even for specs. If they want to put something out, they just say they've done the best they can. Piggyback for now, do the best they can, get something and award it on an emergency basis. That would be my recommendation. It's kind of how we're doing the we're going forward with what we have now, and then you know, as we do this monitoring, we're going to award it on an emergency basis and do that.
And that is an emergency, we can help the entities with an emergency.
Because, you know, when you go back to common sense, okay, if we're the largest entity, or somewhat one of the two largest entities going out and picking up debris, we have probably the better prices. You know, so if they're piggybacking on us and we're right next door, it's common sense that it should be our debt.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to be meeting with the Secretary of FEMA tomorrow, and I promise you that's an issue that will be discussed.
Yes.
Jeff, this would be kind of like an emergency motion. We're going to have a lot of contractors coming in from out of state. If you all could pass an ordinance or pass something saying anybody from out of state that's going to do work in our county has to register. Nothing fancy. It takes them one day to come up here, put their name, their address, and then you all verify it.
Lord, and I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
I wish we had that authority. The state retains that authority, unlike cities that have land use control authority.
Well, then we need to get the mayor.
The mayor has given us, yeah, the mayor, the city does need to do it, but the legislature, you know, home rule municipalities can do anything they want to do as long as the state law doesn't specifically forbid it. So if they want to open up a Disney World, cities can do it. If they want to open up a widget factory, they can do it. Counties, on the other hand, are limited, and whenever we want to do something, we have to have a specific statutory or constitutional authorization to perform that function. And a lot of times, like, you know, there are times we wanted to have building inspection programs in the unincorporated area. We can't do it. We can't regulate electricians or contractors or anything because there's nothing on the books that says you can do it. And so I would love to have that authority, but Texas, the history of it is that Texas is such a huge state and has been such an agricultural state with large ranches and everything that the state representatives from Lubbock and Odessa and all ranching country will never vote for giving counties any land use control authority. It'd be a wonderful idea, I promise you that, but as this goes and get the word out to the community that when these contractors show up, you know, it's better to wait and get a good job later on down the line. Don't give anybody any money. Don't give anybody any money.
We need to put that message out. We need to tell them if some out-of-state contractor is coming to our county and they're willing to do the work, let me tell you, 90% of them are great and are going to do a good job. It's the 10% that are going to defraud our senior citizens and the people that don't have anything. And if someone from out of state comes and says, I need half my money down so I can buy supplies, we need to tell them, you ask for a list of the supplies that you want me to buy, I'll buy them and I'll have them delivered to my house so that they can't take that money and run off.
And I can tell you from experience that in the aftermath of Hurricane Rita, I had $22,000 less in my pocket today as a result of hiring a contractor that came in out of the woodlands without checking. And when I finally did get to check in the background, it turned out he'd been in prison several times. I hope he spent the $22,000 well.
Well, you know, we need to have people aware. Before you sign a contract, you need to call the Better Business Bureau, give this guy's name and his address, because if they're from North Carolina, South Carolina, or New York City, they can contact the Better Business Bureau and find out if they're legitimate. So we need to get that word out. I've been trying to get that word out, but no one, you know, everybody's, and I understand, they're more interested in showing the devastation and showing what people are doing to help. But you know, we need to warn people. We can stop crime from occurring, but we're doing a whole lot for this community. We've got to stop these crimes from occurring.
Thank you. Judge, I would think that the Double Oaks issue, whether it be Haven Landing or some of these others, will be solved if that's something that you could discuss with the Secretary of FEMA or Homeland Security, whoever that may be. I think that's something that could be tripled down if you had that person here or something.
Anything further? I want to thank y'all for being here and for the wonderful job y'all